If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week, we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking their mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner, firstly by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club.
Hello, Rhys, Amanda James.
What do you mean by that? You've gone with Amanda.
Yeah.
Do you know what my middle name is?
I think I do. Do I know it? Thomas? James?
No, Rhys Thomas is a comedian.
Oh, Rhys Ifan? James?
No, that's an actor, comedy
Rhys,
actor.
Rhys James? James?
No, that would be strange, wouldn't it? That'd be a strange
I saw Rhys
choice.
James the other day in a G-Wagon, in the passenger seat. 10 minutes before Chelsea were kicking off, but then I realised he's injured.
Oh, the other Rhys James, not the original, not the OG Rhys James.
Well, the OG, yeah, who plays for Chelsea. Yeah.
He might be the top G, but I'm the OG. He's several years younger than me.
Rhys.
He's 9 years younger than me, actually.
What is your middle name?
William.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the classic middle name. It's pretty Route 1 stuff for a middle name.
It's
everyone's middle name's William.
Hertfordshire middle name.
What, Lloyd? You've got two middle names, haven't you?
No. No, I haven't got two.
Just
names.
A big lad. Lloyd.
You've got two. Harry's got two.
That doesn't
names.
Surprise me, actually. That doesn't
Harry.
Surprise me.
Japanese.
What is Japanese?
I'm Japanese.
How have you only mentioned this so far?
Forgive me, Harry. I'm not going to guess that one. I think I'm going to leave that one to our listeners to write in and guess.
Guess what Harry's middle name in Japanese might be.
I can see that making sense.
Born in Japan.
Given who your father is.
I'm guessing conceived in Japan. Conceived, I mean, sorry to make you think
about
that.
Would you like to talk about your conception for a while, Harry?
In Japan.
Is that named after someone? Manager? Best friend
in Japan.
When your dad was in Japan.
Yes.
Right,
were they a footballer?
No.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So can't even narrow it down by looking up the team.
Grandpa's Eight.
No, it's impossible to guess.
Grandpa's Eight.
The team was Grandpa's Eight.
What about, would it be impossible to guess the other one? Is the other one an English name?
Yes.
William.
No.
Not William. Yours is, I want to say, John.
Yeah, it's John. Yeah, Lloyd John Griffith.
Lloyd John Griffith. Yeah, yeah. I know that because LJG is one of our reviews. And it was you.
The one that goes,
this is brilliant. And then the chubby bloke's funnier.
Really enjoyed this. And the chubby bloke is hilarious. Yeah.
Genuinely, I read it and I was, you know, a little bit hurt by it at first. And then I just read who'd written it. And I was like, right, of course.
LJG202. That was my university login.
So if you want to leave us a review, and you feel free to say the chubby one's funnier at this stage, but I will assume that it's Lloyd's burner accounts on Apple Podcasts.
So many burner
so
accounts.
Forth. Harry, I'm going to guess your middle name is
Charles.
David.
Go on, give us the English one.
Joseph.
Would not have got that.
Harry Joseph Nakaturo Lineker.
I don't mind it.
Anywhere near?
Okay, so write in if you know Harry's middle Japanese name. We have got a guest on the podcast today because that's how it works. That's the format.
The guest is
Spencer Owen.
Spencer FC, you might
Spencer
know him as.
Spencer FC.
So someone we've actually known for a very long time.
Hugely long time.
Very long time. Spencer, big YouTube channel. He also, crucially, owns a football club.
He owns a football club. He's worked with some of the biggest footballers in the world.
Yeah.
And he was a pioneer in the YouTube game.
Yeah.
With 100%. And it was great. It was really great seeing him evolve. He's also got, as I say, a football team called
Hashtag United.
Hashtag United, who are one of the most viewed football teams in the world.
He's the first actual club owner to come on this podcast,
yes,
which is why it's very exciting. We don't know what he's going to do, if he's going to pick them or someone else.
We don't know.
So,
West Ham fan, owns a football team.
Let's find out.
Let's see what he does. Joining us today is a YouTuber, a presenter, a podcaster, a friend, a footballer, but more crucially, a football club owner.
The first one. The first one on the pod.
On the pod.
It's big.
First of many, I'm sure.
Please welcome Spencer Owen.
Hello.
AKA Spencer FC.
Yep.
What do you prefer these days?
I mean, my full, you know, Christian surname, Spencer FC. Some people have introduced me as FC, like it's my surname. Spencer's easiest, isn't it?
Spencer.
But Spencer Owen, yeah, whatever. And that's not even my real name.
It's
either.
Not your real name, is it?
It's so many names.
I didn't want to say that, but obviously your brothers have different names.
Yeah, they've ruined it for me.
Yeah, that's
was that because you started doing comedy? Were you Spencer Owen doing
comedy?
That
was the name I chose because our actual surname is Carmichael Brown, which sounds posher than the reason it is. It's actually quite funny how that's our surname. That's a whole different story. But I didn't want to be introduced on stage as Spencer Carmichael Brown. It sounds like a real posh
sounds like a character.
And I'm going to come on and then, do you know what I mean?
So it
sounds like an aristocrat character. Like you're going to come on in a pinstripe suit that's too big for you with a monocle. And say,
well, my brother's not helped it because he's got children called Rupert and Penelope.
He's
embraced it, isn't it?
Rupert Carmichael Brown.
Know,
and you're
name.
From Essex as well, do you know what I mean? So it's not...
No, literally, my mum and dad's maiden name is Smith and Brown. Like, you couldn't get more sort of like classic, you know, normal names. I'll do the real skinny version of the story, but basically, my mum's family did family tree research, found out that we used to be from Scotland, which is where Carmichael's from. It's a Scottish name. My great-great-great-granddad, we think, killed someone, was on the run from the police, moved from Scotland to Devon. This is like 1850. As far as you can go, got away with it because he just changed his name to Smith, which was like one of the most common names out there, and he got away with it. So my mum did this family tree research and went, oh, but if we bring Carmichael back, we'll sound really posh. Because you did it to sound posh. So that happened
when murder someone.
And that happened when I was alive as well. My name was changed when I was three. I used to be Spencer Brown.
You're listening to True Crime Podcast, Fit and Proper.
Yeah, I did not.
But also,
you couldn't be
Spencer Brown because that also was a comedian.
That's the reason I didn't
go
there.
So when you started out, Spencer Brown was doing gigs still. I don't think he still is, but...
I can't remember. Oh, Spencer Brown.
Spencer Brown, great comedian.
Exactly why I didn't use that name. And then,
so then Owen, middle name?
Middle name, yeah.
Yeah, bang on. Spencer
this
Owen.
This is great.
I know.
So Spencer Owen...
I just realised the fact that I've got a murder in the family is not going to help the fit and proper test, is it?
Oh, that's fine. I don't think
I mean, you should hear some of the stuff that passes. It's an absolute joke.
So, Essex.
Yes.
Who did you support growing up?
West Ham. Even though I was born at home, literally, if you look out the window, the room I was born in, you see into the Roots Hall, South End United Stadium.
Really?
Literally right next to it. But my dad was West Ham, so he brought us up West Ham.
So it's a family thing, West Ham.
Yeah, you're seeing too much if you're looking into the stadium from there. You're like...
It's a free season ticket.
Yeah, it's a free season ticket. You're like, I can see how rubbish this
you
is.
Are,
so
you are
let's move up the tiers a little bit.
You are synonymous. Oh, Roots, you know, Roots Hall, I really like. I like the two-tiered stand they've got in one of the by the goal end.
Yep.
Yeah, by Spencer's house, you mean?
Yeah. I think you're synonymous with being a West Ham fan.
Always. Yeah, well, I made a lot of content about it originally on my YouTube channel. I used to have season tickets, so we used to go to the games and vlog them, and it was fairly novel at that point, people doing that. People had done it, but it was like, we got a lot of support. I mean, everyone does it now, right? Like every young lad wants to be a YouTuber and whatnot, but... Yeah, I used to vlog West Ham games and over land and sea, went to Europa League games and all that stuff.
With your brother and dad and stuff, yeah. And then...
But nowadays I'm more known for the football club I run, which is called Hashtag United, which is, in reality has actually pulled me away from West Ham. Not deliberately, but I gave up my season ticket because we had games at the same time.
Yeah.
So I never got to go to games as much anymore, apart from when we got in Europe. So I've gone Thursday nights if I can. And honestly... some of the content I made over the years and in interactions I had with West Ham fans did like put me off a little bit. I'm still a massive fan by all means, but I stopped wanting to be a vocal West Ham fan
public
in that way.
Facing,
I think sometimes
what people sort of not familiar with the whole vlogging world sort of slagging you off for doing it.
Yeah, I had a guy in Romania, Astra Juju away, basically 6'5" skinhead. Can I swear on here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why not, yeah.
He's come up to me and said, I think you're a cunt. And he tried to fight me. And I had my missus there. She never comes to West Ham games, any football games. Mm. I'm like, mate, I'm in Romania. We're all West Ham fans. They'd put us in a cage, by the way, in the stadium. They caged us in. So we're all like, on edge. And I was like, you're having an issue with me. Like, you don't even know what I do. Have you seen one of my videos? And he hadn't ever seen it. Someone had told him. That,
yeah.
Because I'd recently done something with the club. I hosted the kit launch.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And that
was
outside, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Wright pulled out the day before, and like, they asked me to fill in. It was a favour. Obviously, as a fan, that's a great honour.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But it's not like I was getting paid or anything. It's just a really cool thing to do because the event was a bit pony.
Everyone gets blamed.
And then
on
the
you.
Day before, they sacked one of our legendary academy. Runners who basically was the guy that brought Frank Lampard and Joe Cole and all these guys through, and they literally drew the comparison and went, oh, as if we've sacked him to hire
to
a YouTuber.
To bring in Spencer MC.
I'm not being paid. It doesn't work like that. Football clubs don't work like that. So that created all this beef.
Yeah. Like club rules at West Ham.
Yeah,
we're getting rid of the Chiefs scout, but we're bringing in a YouTuber.
It's just, I think I basically paid a bit of the price of being one of the first sort of YouTubers to be accepted by their club. Like, everyone at the club was great,
yeah,
and really supportive. I flew on the plane with the squad to Slovenia and other Europa games, like really cool stuff. But fans took a while to get around to it. Now they're a bit more used to it.
You can get a bit more used to it. I mean, I after you were doing this, but there was a Spurs channel called Spurred On YouTube for a while, and I did a little few bits on that, which is mostly in the studio. But then another presenter on there, Barnaby, who ran the channel, used to be outside the stadium doing kind of vox poppy, interviewing people. Now vox pop obviously as old as the news, but it was quite novel to have as a Spurs channel. And basically, the only channel that existed was Arsenal Fan TV. Yeah, yeah. And they were such a laughing stock that made Arsenal such a parody that everyone just really didn't want Spurs to have one of them. So everyone, like loads of Spurs fans, were really against this channel existing. So like you know, Barnaby would be doing an interview with someone, just like, what do you think of the game, the tactics and all that? And people are just walking past, just shouting, fuck off, you cunt.
Yeah, exactly.
Just cancel this channel. And it would get loads of abuse, that. And
so like,
it started making me not want to go to games for a bit as well. Because it'd be like, oh God.
Yeah, so, and that wasn't ever the reason I stopped going. I stopped going because of the clash with my own team, but it definitely made me on edge at some games.
Are there any vloggers at Hashtag United?
Yeah.
Yeah, loads.
There's a group of guys called Hashtag Superfans.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And they make vlogs for the games. Yeah, they're great.
They're really lovely, like, set of kids, and they're, like, good stuff as well.
Yeah, obviously, it's like anything. If your team's doing things on the pitch that are interesting, any content around that is more interesting.
So let's just recap on the team. So the team that you've created and are like owner of now, Hashtag United, that was born from what, maybe like 8 years ago now?
Do you remember a certain game? Can we bring it up or not?
No, I don't think I do remember. And also, we will edit this podcast.
Oh, he doesn't remember it, so we sort of should bring it up just to remind Lloyd.
Okay, there was a situation. So you asked me to come and do some Hashtag United stuff like back in the day, the training stuff, and I was kind of in there in the first iteration of like some of the OGs.
Yeah, when we were just playing YouTube friendlies at this point.
Yeah, YouTube friendlies against various brands, companies,
anything,
anyone
teams, that wanted
anyone,
to play us.
And
you're
like, can you put a comedians team together? I was like, yeah, definitely, we'll be right. We lost, I think it was 3-1. Was it 3-1?
On your video, it was 3-1.
Yeah.
Our video was 19-1. And I scored the 19.
Is it 19-1?
Lloyd, you can't do that.
What?
Yeah, unbelievable. Rewriting history.
Well.
Well,
I'll tell you what, we're going to rewrite this podcast. Mate. That's not making the edit.
Well, you came out of field for a bit as well, didn't you? In that game, you did.
Yeah.
That was in the North Korean really media. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're not giving the full facts to the audience.
I think your video was 1-0.
Quite a short video, was it yours?
It was but then we got a lot of people going, what are you on about, you fat idiot? It's 19 miles. I was like, yeah, I'm a comedian. It's a joke.
It's a
running joke.
So who was awful in that game then, other than Lloyd?
Oh, we don't need to talk about that.
Because Lloyd was in goal. He's obviously shit
19. I actually regret that, you know. I look back on that, and it's actually really interesting because it shows you how like single-minded we were. Like, we were just playing YouTube friendlies, right? But to us, they were massive. We'd created this little mechanism where we got rewarded if we won games, or I'd created it, right? So like, if we got a certain amount of points from a certain amount of games, we'd go on tour and things like this. So we actually were playing.
Right.
So if you turned up to another friendly against comedians team, whatever, it would be played fairly lighthearted. Like, I don't know what you found, but like, why didn't we change all the positions up when we got to like 10? Like, you normally would put
a
goalkeeper
like a friendly,
up front. We just kept everyone in position and just kept scoring.
And everyone,
like, it's my mate. I'm like, what am I doing?
Everyone was the same age. They were like, what, late 20s, early 30s at this point. Yeah. We had Omid Jalili in the middle of midfield.
Oh, also, yeah. I mean, look, I've played football with comedians enough times to know, and you must know this, comedians are all hungover. at all times. Is all comedians are alcoholics. You know, they're not all taking their vitamins like you.
Tom Rosenthal was the manager who had three cans of lager on the side of the
exactly.
pitch.
Exactly. That's like, it's banter, isn't it, for a comedian's team? It's just like, ah,
do you know who scored our only goal? Lee Hendry, not a comedian.
He did mention that. He did have Lee Hendry. Yeah.
Lee Hendry. I think he just regretted saying yes to this. So it was.
They've all got no fitness comedians. They eat pasties on the road from service stations and they just drink lager constantly. But, so, of course.
So why isn't Rosenthal getting the stick? You get all the stick. The gaffer, he should be getting the stick. He picked the team, no?
I mean, to be fair, his ACL wasn't working. I think he would have been better than most of the people on that team that day. But hey, look, it is what it is. Hashtag United are now a football team in the actual football pyramid.
Yeah.
You play in which league?
Ishmael North, 8th tier.
And you're in the FA Cup as well?
Yeah, you've seen us play in the FA Cup.
Against Soham?
Yeah, good game, one on penalties. Nick Pope's brother was in
Nick
goal
Pope
that game.
Nick Pope's brother was in goal, I gave him a lot of stick.
Our women are still in the FA Cup this season.
Yes, they are.
We're playing in the fourth round against Coventry next weekend.
Winnable.
And they're bottom of the championship.
Lovely.
So the second tier. We're top of the fourth tier.
Yeah.
So it's like top of League Two playing the bottom of the championship.
That's great.
So it's winnable. It's winnable. But that's massive because the prize money's gone up a lot for women's football this year. But yeah, men are in the eighth tier, women are in the fourth.
And so you have two teams, the men and the women's, but also have a...
We've got 60 teams now.
If you include 60?
If you include all the youth teams we've got. We've got...
60?
600 hashtag. Players, yeah.
Oh my God.
You've got 60 teams?
Yeah, from five and up, boys and girls. It's a proper
six
club.
6-0?
6-0, yeah.
No,
I swear
don't.
To you.
No.
Not all senior teams, some of the youth teams, but like, I swear to you, yeah. We've got six senior teams.
So how many people teams, work at your football team. Club now?
Well, like any youth club, that's all voluntary. Right? Yeah. That's just like any, you know, we merged with an existing youth club in the area called Forest Glade and they became Hashtag. And that was 2 years ago. Same time we merged with the women's team. The men's team are literally their own team that we joined non-league in the 10th tier. We didn't take anyone over or anything and we climbed a couple of divisions. But the women and the youth team we merged with. And yeah, the club's, it's a big club now. It's a lot of stuff to do. Keeps me very busy.
How many people do you get on average at a gate?
Men on average is about 250, 300, which is but not bad for the level. Like the level we're at now, there's some teams that get really good gates, particularly the Suffolk teams. They get like 600, 700 every game.
Really?
It's decent, yeah.
And then viewed online.
Yeah, that's the bit where we win. Well, these days, on average, a video will get at least like 150,000 people watch it. Wow. But we've got games on there, like the comedians' game's got millions of views, unfortunately for you.
So annoying.
Yeah, but, I know. It's only about 15 to 16 more people will listen to this and go and watch it, I would say. I'll be one of them.
And you're one of the most viewed YouTube channels of any football team in the country?
Yeah, if you include like pro football clubs, they used to do a chart they'd release and we'd always be like 6th or 7th in the UK for YouTube views a month. That's up against like United, Tottenham, West Ham, whoever. Obviously, we're predominantly on YouTube, so that's like where our games live, whereas they're on Sky or whatever. But no, it's one of them things. I've got a bit of stick for it in the past. Like, it depends on your metric for what means a big club. There's loads of things we're not big at yet, like attendances. I just gave an example. Yeah. That's like a normal non-league attendance. Mm. You know, the level we play at, we're not big. We haven't got a lot of history, which is a massive part of being a big club. But if you're talking about people that go out their way to watch the team play online or offline per week, we're like a championship club minimum, if not a Premier League club, in terms of the amount of people that you have to click on that video to watch Hashtag. It's not like watching Match of the Day and just watching by accident. So you compare it then to attendances and it's a very weird way of comparison because we've got as many
modern,
fans.
It's futuristic though, isn't it? Everyone else is kind of lagging behind in this stake. Obviously, with the big like Premier League clubs, it's TV rights and all that sort of stuff. But other than that, it's like other teams could be doing this. But
they could
just not.
I mean, listen, people say that to me all the time and I'm like, how do we do it? Or they'll start, the non-league team will start a YouTube channel. It's like, you have to go back, you know, I made my first YouTube video 15 years ago, actually 16 years ago this year, right? Think about it. It wasn't even called YouTube then. It wasn't even owned by Google, right? It's like...
What was it called?
Well, I technically made my first thing on something called Google Video, which was a Google thing. Then Google bought YouTube and it moved to YouTube. But no, it was always called YouTube, but that was before Google owned it. And it's like, okay, so not that they're asking like to... How can they do out a version of what we've done? I'm like, well, if you were trying to do what I did, it wouldn't be a YouTube thing now. It's not platform no one's heard of yet. Because the world's changed.
Yeah.
Like, it was just an opportunity that we took and loads of bits of luck and fortuitous things happened. Some good decisions as well. And we are where we are. But you can't emulate it. And we were the first YouTube team to enter some professional sport, full stop, let alone football, and it's the world as well, not just in the UK. And so as a result of that, I think anyone that tries to, for want of a better word, copy it, they're like, it's not the same.
It's not the same thing, yeah. Is the dream to get hashtag into the Premier League?
I mean, obviously, that's the beauty of the pyramid, isn't it? But we've got to be realistic. Like, look at the amount of money that Salford have invested. They're still in League Two. You know,
league.
It's a great league. But
great league.
You know, Peter Liam is the man that put the big money in there after the class of 92 guys came in. He's a billionaire, and they haven't got out the League Two yet. So we're talking hundreds of millions of pounds needed to take us from where we are to the Premier League. My more realistic goal is to get a ground. We're trying to get promoted this year. We're second in the league, the men. So we'd like to get to the seventh tier, one below the National League South. Get our own ground, because we still ground share. And then the dream would be just to take us professional, whatever that looks like. It's teams in the seventh tier that are professional already. Mm. So
you're going to leave the Len Salmon Stadium?
Well, we don't know when, because it's a great name, isn't it?
Len Salmon. Took an ex-girlfriend on a date to the Len Salmon Stadium in Basildon to watch a hashtag United game.
It'd be weird if you didn't say to watch a hashtag game.
Just for a tour, did you?
Yeah, crucially, not together anymore.
Was that because of?
We'll talk about. But what I quite like is the inclusivity of hashtag United, in that you can support them no matter where you live.
Yeah,
and it's kind of, it doesn't matter who you are. It's just come on board. You don't have to be from a specific area. You can just support them.
There's one prerequisite to be a hashtag fan. You just have to be able to get your head around the fact that we're called hashtag.
Yeah.
And some people can't, and that's fine. But like, that is the big, like, it's almost like a great, I'm sure we'll bring it up today, because like, one thing I've learned as being a chairman of a club is, it's not your job to make everyone like you. It's not possible. No one's ever succeeded in the history of football or life, right? Yeah. Your job is to find your people that are going to support your club and really do a good job at that. So like, the name hashtag is actually brilliant, because it tells us straight away who's never going to support us.
Yeah.
Because if they can't get their head around the name, then they're never going to like anything else.
Fair enough.
Sorry, lads. One second.
We have some breaking news, and I don't usually interrupt match of the day for this, but West Ham United have confirmed that Spencer Owen is the new owner of the football club. Happy Hammers.
Two clubs. Johnny Two Clubs over
Johnny
here.
Johnny Two Clubs.
Thing is, we've already heard, you've got hashtag, they're thriving. So there's no point. You've already done it. There's no point.
Completed.
Oh, he's taken over. He's bought hashtag off himself. So he's gone and bought West Ham.
Yep.
Congratulations, first and foremost. How much does that set you back?
It's a couple hundred million, mate. I'm not going to lie.
Really? Didn't want to put that into hashtag. Save it for West Ham.
You just said you need billions and billions of pounds to get a hashtag. But you've got a couple of hundred million. How have you got that?
No, but you're buying a club at the Prem. It's different to getting one up to the Prem. How have I got it? I've basically sold loads and loads of Prime.
Have you?
I've been going down.
You and Wakey Wines.
Wakey Wines. I've been selling for about £1,000 a bottle.
Wow!
And I've made a couple billion, which has made me brave enough to buy West Ham and see what else I can do.
That's such a good business model. We've seen that business model in action by all these shops. Even Asda tried it.
It worked.
Even Asda tried to put it up to £2.50 from £2, and then KSI tweeted them and said, it's
get
£2,
it
put it down.
It's a good link as well, because London Stadium is one of only two stadiums where you can actually get Prime in the country, which is Arsenal and London Stadium. So,
is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Prime sponsorship in the Emirates and stuff? It's crazy.
No.
Considering JJ, KSI, is an Arsenal fan, that is like pinch yourself moments. He's Prime on the sidelines and stuff.
So you're the new owner of West Ham.
Yep.
I think the big question that I need to ask you first and foremost, what are you doing with your stadium? Are you staying there? Mm. What's going on?
This is a crucial part of my strategy at West Ham United. I'm going to buy the stadium.
The London Stadium?
Yeah, I'm going to buy it off the Olympic Committee and get it into use. And that, I actually think, will happen as well, by the way. But I bought the stadium. First thing I'm going to do is get rid of the running track, obviously.
Yeah.
Got to bring the seats closer. I want to create a real intimidating atmosphere at London Stadium, which we don't really have right now. We did have at the bowling ground.
West Ham fans intimidating?
Well, the fans can be, but you've got to get close enough to them to be intimidated.
I got to say, I think the bubbles take the edge off.
This is part of our plan. I'm getting rid of the bubbles.
Getting rid of the bubbles.
So the bubbles can come out when we score, but I want to go. So for me, football is a big thing about like having an identity, right? West Ham are never going to be like the sexiest team in the country. There's too many big clubs. Like, I want us to be the horrible team. Right.
Mm.
I want us to, it's basically the opposite of what I've done on hashtag. I want West Ham to be the place no one wants to come. Think crazy gang like Wimbledon vibes. Right, I'm going to really go all out here. So the bubbles are gone. when you come out, you know, do you remember the bowling ground? It was like a castle, because Bowling Castle was supposedly where Anne Boleyn had lived. It's right next to the ground. So I want to do that again. I want to build this sort of castle-like structure in front of the stadium.
Lovely.
You know, there's a little sort of river. Outside. I want to turn that to a full-on moat. Okay? So the stadium's
going to be a running track inside, but an actual moat outside.
It's a running track.
Outside.
And there's going to be a drawbridge.
It's a drawbridge.
Everyone, all the away fans have got to walk through the drawbridge, get all dark, and then I want to have actual like hammers, just like massive hammers on the drawbridge, like coming down. You've got like run.
Oh, so
you've got
to run through like crazy scary. Golf.
No, but
like when you're trying to get the putt.
Zelda?
In crazy golf.
And there's a bit of Zelda in there. Yeah, that's only for the away fans though. The home fans can just walk in like nice and
straight
easy.
In. Don't have to worry about
so
it.
So actual hammers made out of metal.
Yeah, huge. You know, like when you get a drawbridge, like comes down. Ours would just be these big hammers coming down in the shape of the irons.
The irons.
Right. Bit of an admin question here. How are you expecting to get public liability insurance?
Well, this is where I'll send some of the West Ham fans to the council.
Right,
we'll get what we need.
Rough them up, mafia style.
Yeah, good. It's a good plan.
I'm starting to learn how these councils work.
Snooker ball in a sock, swinging it around the head.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're going to embrace that image. Like, if you think about West Ham and what we're known for, like, outside of West Ham fans, you know, and you think about things like Green Street and all this stuff, like the hooliganism, like. I'm not endorsing that behaviour, but we're going to play on that
nor
reputation.
The podcast.
No, of course not. But we're going to play on that reputation to make it a horrible place to come.
Yeah.
I mean, there's loads of things I'm thinking about here if you want to get really into it. Like, we need to rebrand the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
London Stadium. I know what they've tried to do there. Basically, what the previous owners have tried to do is a very business savvy approach, which is they've tried to, like, call it London Stadium, make it this thing that's this really marketable thing across the world.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the same thing everyone's trying to do, new stadium, all that stuff. We're losing the culture of West Ham. I'm going to turn all that on its head.
Yeah.
Okay. Forget London Stadium.
Yeah.
We're going to do a massive sponsorship deal with Stone Island, and the stadium's going to be called Stone Island.
Yeah. Love it. And it is an island.
It is an island.
Perfect.
Exactly. See, there's a strategy here.
Yeah. He's thought
about
it.
You've got to go to Stone Island. It's not a nice place to go. Think about it. Stone as well. You've got the link with Hammers and Iron. It's a perfect sponsorship.
It's lovely.
The kit will obviously be Stone Iron, and that will be our brand.
Well, let me ask you this, because in the sort of last 4 or 5 years, the on-sleeve sponsor has come in. We've all seen it. Angry Birds with Everton.
Angry Birds.
You could have the Stoney on the sleeve.
We could actually
custom.
Get the badge in, couldn't we?
You could just get the badge in on the sleeve.
I definitely want to get the badge in. I mean, it's
very Green Street.
It is. That's the plan. I also want to make one of the streets that leads to the stadium completely green.
Lovely.
As a homage to Green Street.
Nice.
I think you used to have the chicken run, right, at Bowling Ground, which was this bit where all the sort of intimidating fans, and if you were doing a throw-in, you had to get right up next to them. It wasn't a nice place to be. We don't have anything like that, so I want to create an area of the crowd that's a bit like that. I'm looking at Dortmund as a sort of blueprint.
The wall.
Yeah, you got the yellow wall. You know, they're not the biggest team in Germany, but they're always there or thereabouts. They're competing. Realistically, we're not going to become Man City overnight or whoever, but we can be this team that's... We'll have a Dortmund-like recruitment strategy as well. We'll go for young players, you know, and we'll just make ourselves a horrible team to play against. That's the plan.
Naughty.
So are you going to get any, like, players that we already know are rough, or are you going to be recruiting them from prison? Or... Prison football teams. Are you going straight from there?
It's a link to Omar Jalili there. Was he in Meme Machine?
Yeah, he was in there. What was it? Was it in...
He was in Meme Machine.
Meme Machine, yeah. We've been there, yeah.
Are you signing Omid?
Listen, if he's available, we'll talk.
He is a Chelsea fan.
I've seen him play against Hashtag. Didn't do himself a great audition that day, but...
The intimidation is coming from the stadium, but it's also going to be on the pitch.
On the pitch as well.
In this sort crazy gangway.
Yes. So first signing probably Harry Maguire. Okay. Because listen, you haven't got a lot of scary players anymore. I was actually thinking about this. Like, back in the day when you had all these like Roy Keane's and Gattuso's and all these lads, like, you don't really have them anymore. The best you get now is just like, and the fact that he's called Slabhead again on the Stone Irons theme.
Yes,
Maguire in. He's actually linked with us at the moment anyway.
He is.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So get him in, and that's the sort of player I want in there. I've seen some of the stuff other people have done on this podcast. Like, I want to do a haircut rule. Only one player on the team is allowed to have hair at any one time.
Yeah, that works for the branding. With the branding.
So if a bald guy gets subbed off, like, you can't sub a bald guy, a skinhead, you can't sub him off for someone with hair. It's got to be hair for hair.
Right, okay. Only one person with
a like-for-like sub. Exactly. You're taking a like-for-like sub incredibly literally.
Yeah,
so like, you can have Andy Carroll on, but everyone else is a Jonjo Shelvey.
Yes, exactly. Or Andy Carroll gets a haircut for the team.
Is Harry Maguire shaving his head?
I'd embrace it. I wouldn't make it non-negotiable. But the thing is, if you've got one guy with hair on the team, you probably want that to be like a creative player. You go, listen, he's good. He can have hair. Right? But the other 10, like Maguire, you don't need hair. What do you need hair for? You're just heading the ball.
Exactly, yeah. You're not going to make Brian Hill shave his Beatles mop, are you?
But I quite like the idea of the subs board going on, like coming up, and then there's a player with hair on the sideline just having his head shaved.
Wet shave.
He'll shave his hair. It's, oh, fine. Well, it's taking me weeks to grow this. And he's just like getting a number one from, well, I was going to say from David Moyes. Is David Moyes the manager? What are you doing with the management situation?
David
podcast
Moyes.
Royalty, David Moyes.
Yes. Podcast royalty.
I've seen the David Moyes podcast with Stephen Bartlett recently.
He loves Man United.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him for being a bit annoyed about all that, but it's very tough, the Moyes situation. Like, in real time, he's got one game or two left, hasn't he? And I think if I've taken over today, then I'm going to give him one or two games.
Yeah.
But he needs to get on board with the new strategy at the club.
Yeah.
And maybe he can't. If he can't, then...
Is the manager allowed hair?
The manager can have hair on his head, but nowhere else.
And you are like,
you're proving that.
Can he come into the office when he's got the manager's comes in with a dressing gown? And he's like, giving him an inspection. Going back to the kind of like the manager, and obviously I don't want to put words into your mouth, but the kind of manager that I think West Ham have had in the past that I think would be good. You've had some really quite aggressive, like. Sam Allardyce was always quite lippy by the side of the pitch. I remember that thing with, was it Angle that went down? He was like laughing at him when he came out.
Oh, yeah.
Bilic. I mean, you've had some bruiser managers who, if Moyes doesn't stay, who are you bringing in?
Yeah, I mean, the next one in line would probably be Sean Dyche. I think he'd really embrace what the project here.
Don't have to shave him too much
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
Oh, whoa.
What about the goatee?
He'd have to get rid of
goatee. Goatee's fine. I think goatee actually adds to it. Skinhead and goatee would be definitely
also, Christian Lloyd, that your goatee, a beard, is on your head. So you're
so
allowed
you say
it.
Hair on your head?
On your head. On your head.
But face.
Face, I'd say.
No,
I'd
facial hair's fine.
It's part of the head.
If anyone wants to go long beard, skinhead, that's fine. I like that.
Yeah. Like a Hell's Angel.
Yes, exactly. Again, that's the sort of vibe we're going for.
Alexi Lalas.
It's a centre half. He could be available. Can we get him in?
Well, I'm thinking more as a manager. I think his playing days are gone. But again, this is a fantasy world.
Exactly.
You can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
So, okay, so you're bringing in someone like an ex-manager, Bilic,
There's a couple of options. David Moyes got a few weeks, but another thing I saw, I know Tom did this, Tom Rosenthal, when he came on and did the breeding thing. Mm. Yeah. So I want to make a slight change to that. So I like the idea of the breeding the best footballers. What I want to do is see if we can spend a fair amount of my billions I've made from Prime investing in a technology that allows me to breed two ex-players together. So I want to basically breed Paolo Di Canio and Dimitri Payet.
Right.
Into one
superstar
hairless baby that hopefully can get on the pitch as soon as possible, and we just want to explore the sort of breeding of legends, crossbreeding of legends.
Fans would support that. I think they would definitely support that.
Oh,
it goes with your whole thing of having 600 youth players currently. I feel like you're already doing this a little bit.
Can't confirm or deny whether we're doing any sort of breeding.
Yeah, okay, perfect. So long-term strategy. So what's the long-term goal then? If you've got long-term strategies, you're not just thinking immediately. Sure, you're doing the immediate stuff with the stadium, Stone Island, etc., the moat. But long-term, win the Premier League, win the Champions League?
Yes, of course. That is always the goal. But we need to be, obviously, one of the best teams in the country. And I think we've got to play to our strengths, which is this new strategy. Like, I like clubs that have a clear identity. And we need to celebrate that. There's a really big part of my plan, which is... You have to hear me out on this one, but we need to be the best Ham. There's a lot of teams with Ham in them. And right now, we're only above Southampton. We're below Tottenham. We're below Fulham.
Oh,
you know, we need to be the best Ham, not just in the country, but in the world. And then think about the sleeve sponsor. So if we've got Stone Island on the kit, I'm thinking we could do some sort of deal with like a premium Ham, like an Iberian Ham.
Yeah, Iberian
lovely.
Ham, yeah.
Because we need to be the best Ham. So West Ham is the best Ham. That could be our slogan. And then
it doesn't scream hard, man, to be that slogan.
I mean,
West Ham is the best Ham.
Yeah.
We're forever blowing bubbles, but only when we score.
And then I want to create, like, you know, Man City have got their network of clubs. So our second club will be called Iberian Ham. And it'll just be a Spanish/Portuguese team.
Great.
And,
on the board.
No-brainer, isn't it? No-brainer.
Parmaham.
Parma. Great shout. I didn't even thought of that. That's Parmaham.
He's actually,
club.
Do you know what? He's sometimes good.
Very good. That's very good.
Sometimes he's
good. Parmaham can be the third club. And it goes on from there. I've got a lot of these ideas. You know,
Hoffenheim?
Hoffenheim, yes. Hamburg.
Hamburg. That's a German one.
We need to really own the ham market.
Yeah.
And one thing I was worried when I come up with this strategy is, are we alienating the vegan crowd? Well, exactly. Are we swapping some of the people that might support us? And I thought, no, we're not saying we want dead ham. We just like Fresh the concept ham. Of ham, ham alive yeah. or dead. So vegans love pigs.
Yeah.
They don't want to eat them, but they can sure. still support a team that celebrate the idea of pigs.
Yeah.
So that's all we're doing, really.
So you also need a team with pig in the name.
Well, just for, it's for just ham, isn't it? The problem is ham. Does ham only become ham when the pig is dead?
Hey, do you know what? That's a good question, and I don't think we have time for it on this podcast.
Pig and Athletic. There you go. Just sign them. We'll rename them.
I know you've got a lot of ideas, but the supercomputer has just thrown up a scenario which you have to answer in real time. The world's worst terrorist comes out and declares his love for your West Ham, despite hating the West and everything it stands for.
And ham.
Oh, yeah, crucially. And ham. Well, we don't know his religion.
Hey, I was just going with the marketing strategy.
Okay.
But you go ahead.
He's seen on a very disturbing propaganda video wearing the latest West Ham away kit, complete with his name on the back. Do you think you should distance yourself from the terrorist and his organisation, or is all PR good PR and you hope to get access to a different audience? Wow. Bearing in mind you are situation. Now like it goes an, with edgy, the image an edgy
that's
kind
what
of
I'm
like.
Thinking you see I'm thinking you know obviously we can't endorse terrorism of any kind.
I don't think anyone should,
but I think maybe we just say, look, West Ham shirts are available worldwide.
Yeah,
worldwide shipping.
It's a global,
we're not going to stop people wanting to buy the shirt.
It's a global thing.
We're not saying we encourage him wearing the shirt. We're not saying we discourage people buying the shirt from any country in any walk of life. So
we are an inclusive football team.
The reality is it's great publicity.
We're
really
not going to stop anyone.
And in many ways, they've sort of, by buying the shirt, have embraced capitalism.
Exactly.
Now, you said hates the West and everything it stands
and
for.
Everything
the
it
West
stands for.
Stands for capitalism. And if you ask me, the real terrorists are this government we're having lately.
There you go.
Come on. Yeah, right in.
The views
right
of Reece James
right in,
there.
Right in with your support. No criticism, just support, please. Right in with your support, everyone.
Welcome back to The Rest Is Politics.
It's well handled, okay? I think it's well handled.
Well handled.
It's well handled.
Handles.
West Ham is the best ham.
We don't have handles, we have
everyone
handles.
Everyone in the world, including terrorists.
Would you
fair
use
enough.
It beforehand? Do you have George Frederick Hamdel?
No, we can cut that bit.
We can cut that bit. That is not a problem.
Hamshick. You've got to sign Hamshick.
Yeah, he's definitely on the
he's
list.
He's definitely in there. 100%. So ham-based players, ham-based teams.
Claret,
nice.
Claret.
No, yeah, that's the other thing. So we've got to be the best ham. We've also got to be the best claret and blue team, which in times we sometimes struggle with.
Burnley,
obviously, the likes of Burnley Villa. So we've really got to nail that. That's the most important thing.
So you're keeping the same kit.
Phoenix, yeah, keep the kit
with new sponsors and stuff like that. What's the sponsor across the middle?
I'm thinking, you know, if we go with the ham on the sleeve, then I'm thinking like bring Dr. Martens back. I grew up, that's like my era.
Really, a vegan? Are they vegan? No.
That's they can be. You can, get the vegan ones.
At one point, I thought about, because I was thinking about my favourite kits as a kid. I was going back to Pony, and Pony was Spurs, of course. But I was like, that clashes with the pigs.
Spurs are Pony.
And ponies
yeah,
and
too
pigs.
Many animals. Suddenly, people are starting to not call it Stone Island, starting to call it the zoo.
Exactly. Newcastle had that problem once.
The farm. I don't mind the farm.
At one point, Newcastle had, I think they had puma kits. They had like whatever the puma animal there. Obviously, they've got seahorses on their badge, and then it was a third animal. I can't
magpies.
Remember what it was. Oh, it's called the magpie.
They're
yeah,
the magpies.
It's just animals everywhere.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Absolute chaos. Yeah. Doctor Doolittle, nonsense. So,
any rules that you're imposing?
Well, I think we've got the skinhead rule. That's quite important. To be honest, like, no, I think as long as people play the way we're trying to get them to play, which is create a very intimidating atmosphere, it has to be a horrible place to come. That's the whole sort of key of this whole project, is making West Ham the place you do not want to go away to as a player. Because we've lost it. I think we've lost that. And I think football in general is losing that, actually, especially in the COVID years when we had no crowds and things. It will come very sort of like football could almost be played at any venue, and we want to create that identity and that personality of a football ground again. So football players have got to buy into that.
I think a lot of hostility now at football grounds is from fans towards their own team.
Yeah.
So to go, when I go to Tottenham at the moment, it's very hostile atmosphere towards Tottenham.
Yeah.
It's never towards the opposition. At the North London Derby recently, it was not a, this is a horrible place to play if you're Arsenal. It was, this is rough if you're Spurs players, because they're on your back and it's like not very fun at all. Or if you're the chairman, crucially.
The Spurs fans are the 12th man for Arsenal.
Exactly.
Well, like the Everton owner, all the board were told not to go to the game last week because they had a threat on their life from the Everton fans. And one of them got hit in the car park or something the week before the game. So like it's happened. West Ham have been synonymous for that last few years, obviously with London Stadium and stuff going on, and that Burnley game and all the players, fans come on the pitch. Yeah. So
we've got to reverse it back to making it intimidating. Couple of questions. I think I know the answer to the first one.
Go on.
Catering.
in the stadium.
Well,
I'm going to assume
it's all ham.
It's pretty ham based.
Ham and
I'm
prime.
I'm going to assume it's ham and prime. Yeah,
okay. Ham and prime. I mean, people are going
prime
for shit.
Cuts.
No, I'm not. I think prime's great. I've not had it yet. But I'm
they're not going to sponsor you, mate. They sponsor.
Are you joking?
Arsenal.
Yeah, well, you never know. They might want to sponsor if KSI is listening, or the other one. do you want to sponsor us for the podcast? Mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously right now we've got Herbie the Hammer.
Yeah, Herbie the Hammer doesn't, I don't think
you've already got
screams.
Hammers on the way in. I don't know if you need
but
the Hammers.
But Hammers is a good vibe for what we're trying to create, but there can't be some, like even the idea of a mascot in general might not be the right vibe for what we're looking for.
Oh,
anymore.
Do you know what?
Unless it was just okay, like a big hard bloke.
Well, it's quite funny.
What if it was a massive bloke who's like wearing a prison uniform with a ball and chain around his ankle, walking around, just threatening.
Or what about like someone from like Lord of the Rings, where they're
dragon
like
in the corner,
25 foot,
like a big, Victorian strongman.
So I'm thinking, and the home fans will love him because they appreciate the job they're doing in intimidating the away fans.
Yeah, maybe it just stands in front of the away fans.
What about a
whenever they cheer,
dog?
It just goes. Oh.
Massive dog. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Well, I thought about Wolves, and then I thought, oh, because you got the team Wolves, we can't go down that route.
No, but I think a big, really aggressive dog slobbering, and that could be called Hammer.
Yeah,
like a staffy or something like that.
No, bigger than
on
a staffy.
Chain, on a chain.
One of those ones that's been like, they're just weirdly big.
Yeah.
Like a Tibetan Mastiff.
Yes, that's what I'm on about. I just couldn't think of the name because I tried to forget dogs.
okay, and badge. Obviously, it's got hammers on it. I'm
presuming
keeping the badge.
I want to bring back a bit of the old badge. When we went to the new stadium, they put London underneath and all this stuff. It was all a bit controversial. I'd like to go back to the old badge that had the castle in there, with the irons in front. I think that's what a lot of people associate West Ham with, and it's going to go with the whole vibe of just a scary place to go. Oh, I forgot to say, the moat needs to have alligators in it as well.
Oh, yeah, fine.
Yeah, just in case.
He's, so that you can't just, in the rush, you can't just be like, I'm not risking going over that drawbridge.
Well, exactly.
You can do, but you just got to jump on it.
Take your own risk.
Steve Irwin it.
You can't, you're not going to see, like right now you walk past it and you've got guys like kayaking down there. Like that's all got to stop.
Yeah.
You can't have this life.
There's alligators in there, mate.
Yeah. None of that nonsense.
So funny because so much of this is the opposite of actually what I'm trying to do at my actual football club. But now I'm at West Ham, changed the game.
You're there in a two.
I'm playing to the strengths of West Ham. That's what it is.
It's all spread betting. You're seeing which works best. And then you can take your business model elsewhere.
Should we put it
in? Fair enough. Yeah, I think we've got to go into the supercomputer. We've got all the data now and we can see if you're judged to be fit and proper.
Reach, take it away.
Well, as you say, we knew that you were fit and proper already because you're doing very, very honourable things at your actual football club that you own.
It's very nice.
Hashtag United.
Big up the tags.
But
I feel like there's a butt. Oh God, there's a butt coming.
There is a butt.
What's
happened? Gone with a bit of a route here with another club. It's a bit more of an aggressive route.
Yeah.
But the verdict is you are fit and proper.
Yeah, that's great. That's
because
lovely.
Of the branding. It's all the branding in, like, it's creating the network, I think.
Exactly.
I
thought the hammers
appreciated.
Coming down on people might have thrown out alarms, but apparently fine.
Well, everyone likes a bit of fun.
Health and safety is a different test.
I've
got
a feeling few of your people might have got involved in the supercomputer, and the supercomputer might be intimidated.
Maybe. I'm not looking for any of your goons turning up at my supercomputer's office with a snooker ball in a sock, all right? I'm just trying to live my life.
You've made a wise choice.
Exactly.
Kept
no
safe,
risks.
Kept hand.
Taking no risks. That's the good thing about the supercomputer on Fit and Proper. It can be intimidated. It can be bribed.
My only regret is I didn't bring a big like Iberian ham with me as a sort of gift.
Yeah.
But then if you had said I wasn't fit and proper, you'd have woken up with a dead pig in your bed.
Hey, I can't wait to come down to the moat. Stone Island.
It works.
I can't wait to come down to the Stone Island or Stone Island?
No, Stone Island.
Stone
right,
Island,
yeah.
Also, Stone Island feels like it could be like a course on Mario Kart.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Is actually one?
I don't think so. No.
We've got a Mario Kart specialist here in the form of producer Harry, shaking his head furiously. Absolutely not, you idiot. I can't wait to come down in me Doc Martens.
Yes.
In me Stony.
You've got a
Stony
pony. I would sit in the home end,
good
in
idea.
The home stand if I was doing
it's
it.
It's 100%.
Not
yeah.
going
yeah,
in the away
I'm
end.
I'm going with the owner.
Not going in the away end.
I'm going with the owner. I'm not going past
any hospitality. What's hospitality like? Is that all ham as well?
We have a few other options in there.
A few other options in hospitality, just in case. Yeah. Keep that quiet, though. Keep that on the down.
You told me I'm fit and proper, mate. I've run out of ideas. Yeah. Let's just move on. Spencer, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. You are fit. You are proper. Is that how I managed it?
I guess so. And best of luck with your actual club.
Thank you very much, lads. Pleasure.
What an episode.
There it was. Spencer Owen, Spencer FC. Go check out his YouTube channel if you've not seen it. You will have seen it because it's much bigger than this podcast. But go check it out. Great content on
the
there.
First
always
double
great content.
Owning football owner. The first double football club owner. Is that right? He owns two clubs. No, I'm sure there's people that own. Oh yeah, the guy that owns Forest. He owns a couple of clubs.
What about
they?
The Man City consortium that own
okay,
all
yeah,
those
so
clubs?
Okay, yeah, so maybe not. But the first double owner that we've had on the podcast is what
yeah,
I meant.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah, that's yeah. true. So yeah. The Man City owners have not been on. Sheikh Mansour has not responded to emails to come on Fit and Proper just
have
yet.
Have you been emailing him?
Oh, I've been emailing.
How have you got his email?
I just guess.
What?
S.Mansour@AOL.com.
AOL.
Yeah, I've tried Tiscali. Just bounces back.
That's
I've tried BT Internet. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I do wonder who his provider is, Mansour.
It's time for the reveal that everyone's been waiting for from the intro of the podcast.
Yes.
Let's play a game called What is Producer Harry's Japanese Middle Name?
Yes. So, should I get the supercomputer to do a drum roll?
Yes, please.
Producer Harry, what is your Japanese middle name?
Masaki.
Masaki!
Anyone who had Masaki at home, you've just won! Yeah. £5!
Have they?
No. Nope.
We did ask you to write in, but then we just thought we don't have an email or anything like that. So
smansour@tiscali.com. Oh yeah, Tiscali bounces back. AOL.
So, Harry Joseph Masaki
Lineker.
That's lovely. And so that was your dad's best mate in Japan?
I'm a dad's best mate.
Really? Lovely person?
Apparently so.
Never met him?
Not for 29 years.
Could have changed as well. 29 years, long time. Long time to not know someone.
In
could have changed.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for Spencer again for coming on.
Another cracking episode of Fit and Proper.